now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. In the United States, both consumer and business confidence are at or near multi-year highs. In the United Kingdom, the situation is vastly different. As reported by Reuters, British consumer sentiment recently fell to its lowest level in 4 years. The GFK Consumer Confidence Index slipped to negative 13 late last year, its lowest level since December of 2013. The GFK survey polled approximately 2,000 Britons last month. Britain's departure from the European Union and the Bank of England's first interest rate increase in a decade are weighing on consumers, who collectively feel that their personal financial situation is worsening and are less keen to make major purchases. In November, inflation in the United Kingdom hit its highest level in nearly 6 years at 3.1%. That easily outstripped lackluster pay growth. A separate survey indicates that household expectations for future inflation are at their highest level since 2013. In contrast to many other major economies, Britain's economy has slowed over the past year. The British economy is only expected to grow 1.5% this year. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. There was a time when the largest U.S. cities reliably supported the smaller communities around them. Take San Francisco as an example. Before it became a global technology center, many folks in the Bay Area built ships. To do that, shipbuilders acquired Douglas fir trees logged in the Pacific Northwest and steel from the East brought in by rail. In the process, San Francisco supported many smaller communities. Chicago served a similar function, with that metropolitan area sitting in the middle of a vast network of economic links crisscrossing the Midwest. Chicago was tightly connected to mill towns in Wisconsin, farmers from Iowa, and ice houses in Michigan that emerged along railroads transporting meat to the East Coast. With globalization, those links have largely been broken. These global cities increasingly look to suppliers located in other parts of the world. Globalization has supported faster growth in places like San Francisco, Boston, and New York, but has left many smaller U.S. communities behind. This dynamic also leaves smaller places at the mercy of decision makers in global cities who determine which plants to close or where to create new jobs. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Last year was a messy one for retailers. Not all retailers, of course. Amazon did just fine. Shares of Amazon were up 55% over the course of the year through late December. But for many other retailers, 2017 was filled with heartache, and experts believe 2018 could bring more of the same for traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Last year, store closing announcements more than tripled to approximately 7,000. This according to Fung Global Retail and Technology, a retail think tank. According to bankruptcydata.com, there are more than 660 retail bankruptcy filings in 2017. That was up 30% from a year earlier. As indicated by CNN Money, while many of these bankruptcies pertain to small mom-and-pop stores, dozens of major national retailers, including Toys R Us, Payless Shoes, and Gymboree, declared bankruptcy as well. Those chains all remain in business, but the Limited shut down and Radio Shack closed almost all of its remaining stores with its second bankruptcy filing. Retail employment nationally recently declined by nearly 40,000 positions during a recent 12-month period. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Last year, U.S. employers collectively added more than 2 million jobs, but one of the industries that failed to add jobs was retail. Employment in that sector declined by 67,000 positions between December 2016 and December 2017. As is well known, national chains like Macy's, Sears, and JCPenney have been closing stores. At the same time, online retailers like Amazon.com have been hiring briskly, including in Maryland. Though many of us consider Amazon to be a retailer, the Labor Department often classifies its employees in other categories. For instance, workers at fulfillment centers are typically counted as being in the warehouse industry. Workers at shipping centers are often counted in transportation. As indicated by writers Eric Morath and Josh Mitchell, employment in the nation's transportation and warehousing sector expanded by more than 74,000 positions last year, more than fully countervailing lost retail industry positions. According to the Progressive Policy Institute, government statisticians have yet to develop coherent standards regarding how to classify e-commerce workers. As uniform guidelines are developed, it will become easier to understand retail industry dynamics. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. The economic situation in Great Britain is not so hot. As reported by Reuters, British consumer sentiment recently fell to its lowest level in 4 years. Britain's pending departure from the European Union and the Bank of England's first interest rate increase in a decade are weighing on consumers, who collectively feel that their personal financial situation is deteriorating. But there is at least one good news economic story out there, and that's Prince Harry's wedding to American actress Meghan Markle. That wedding could provide a £500 million boost to the British economy as tourists flock to the country and as Britons celebrate. That translates into nearly $700 million. There were an extra 350,000 visitors to the United Kingdom in April of 2011 when Harry's elder brother William married his wife Kate, compared to the same month 1 year earlier. Business valuation consultancy Brand Finance predicts a similar surge this May as Prince Harry and Miss Markle tie the knot. About £150 million will be spent on throwing parties, while another $50 million will come from people purchasing T-shirts, hats, and other commemorative items. For WYPR and my prince of a producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.